the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with the very good friends at ESFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Shots are plenty. Yes, indeed. It was South Africa all over the West Indies. Listen to this, 264 for 6 in 29 overs and 3 balls with 34s and 10 sixes, 180 runs in boundaries. It was licks like pigeon peas. And the question we're asking, from Kingston, Jamaica to Bridgetown, Barbados, where did the West Indies go wrong in this match? Well, you know, I've said for a long time that in success is also failure. And we continue to devalue the importance of bowling. Let's go back to the match that the West Indies won. 221 for 8. The South Africans were able to get pretty close to the score in the final analysis. Bavuma actually got out. But when you look at the construct of the West Indies team, you simply must have people that got the ability to get wickets as well. And that continues, in my view, to be a problem. You believe that you can pick bat bits and pieces cricketers all along, and you don't understand that cricket is about batting and bowling. And when you look at the construct of the West Indies side, who are these in the team to really look to get wickets? Yes, Alzari Joseph. But where is his partner? Hold up and get a wicket here and there. You got Curran the side. You pick a 34-year-old in Shannon Gabriel and you put him on the bench. That does not make sense to me at all. You either pick Gabriel and play him or you don't pick him at all. Anyhow, that's my rant. I will, of course, allow the experts to talk about. I see Tony Gray, his smile is his biggest. Port of Spain already. You also have Dr. Andrew Ford, who's smiling. And, of course, Phil Wallace as well. But we're going to put this game under the microscope. There's no doubt about that. We're also going to put Desmond Haynes, the lead selector, under the microscope. Because Barbadians in particular are afraid to criticize Desmond Haynes, who's picked some teams that really and truly, they need to be under the microscope. But of course, I will certainly give way to those experts. Tony Gray has already joined me. Tony Gray, a very, very big supporter of Dr. Keith Rowley. Hello, Tony. How are you, my friend? What a way to introduce you. How are you, my friend?
Are you okay? I'm all right, Mr. Ranter. I'm okay, not too bad, Mr. Ranter.
All right. Fellow Wallace.
Yeah, good evening to you, Andrew. Good evening to you, Andrew. Good evening to Dr. Ford and Philo Wallace, good evening to Barbados and the Caribbean.
Yes, indeed. And a little bit later on the show, we're going to be getting reaction, of course. We're going to go around the region as usual. We also want to from a local perspective, some of our, all of our listeners know about a couple of matches that are coming up on the weekend. Very interesting indeed. We've got the police tournament, which is going to be held very soon. The regional police tournament, we're going to be speaking about that a little bit later on. Now, before we come to you, fellow, and to Dr. Ford, well, there was supposed to be a big contest in relation to the presidency. That fizzled out. Dr. Shallow is the undisputed leader. The big four met: Barbados, Guyana, Trinidad, and Tobago. This is what Tony Gray told me, and Jamaica. And they said they were going to put their support behind Billy Haven. But from all reports, and you know when I say it on this show, I've done my homework, Trinidad and Tobago were always in Dr. Shallow's camp. And it put Barbados in a pretty funny position. And in the end, there was no contest. What is going to happen is, of course, that Dr. Shallow is the man. And we've got Azim Basrat, who fired Tony Gray when he was chairman of selectors. He is going to be the vice president of Cricket West Indies. And Billy Haven is really not at all happy with the men from the land of Calypso, the land of the hummingbird, because he was expecting the support of Trinidad and Tobago. That did not come through at all. So let's congratulate Dr. Kishore Shallow, who is going to be the president of Cricket West Indies, so there's no need for any election. I know there's an AGM which is scheduled for this weekend, actually, yes, March the 25th. Anyhow, let's go to you, first of all, Tony Gray, and give your reaction to the West Indies' heavy loss today. Tell me about it.
Tony? Yeah, very disappointing because we had... Are you hearing me, Andrew?
Loud and clear.
Are you hearing me, Andrew?
Loud and clear, Tony.
Right. Yeah, I'm very disappointed because we had the opportunity to win our first one international than South Africa after the very good performance of the West Indies team in that second one-day game because the first one was rained out. I'm very disappointed because we should have learned that, as you mentioned, and I support you wholeheartedly, that we needed a little bit more potency as it relates to our bowling attack. Based on what we saw in the first game, which was the second one-day, I don't think that we have the potency that we need. And Shannon Gabriel needed to play in this one to ensure that Avery Joseph got that support with pace and bounce on that surface. But quite clearly, we looked at the first one-day game, which was the second one-day international game against South Africa. And what we saw was Smith and Carrier being very expensive. So I didn't like the construct of the team. And I thought that Shannon Gable should have played. When you look at Carrier, for example, in the first one-day international, he batted. He didn't bat because he was stated as number 11.
Yes.
So the batting was congested with batsmen, and we cannot keep on picking bowlers who can bat a little bit because of the non-performance of certain batsmen. Now, Shea Hope performed very well in that first international game, 128. In I think about 115 deliveries. Now, my thing is that there cannot be a consistent dependency on Shea Hope. He's one of the best batsmen in one-day internationals. We've seen it in recent times. And he's now attained the captaincy of the West Indies one-day team. And we have to alleviate the pressure on him. The only way we can do that is to have batsmen who got good starts and didn't carry on. They need to carry on to take the pressure off Shea Hope. So the dependency must stop. But all in all, I'm happy with the one win, but I'm not happy with the performance of our bowlers and our top order batsmen in this one day that we lost.
Just before I go to Philo, you talked to the bowling. Joseph, 8 overs, no maidens, 3 for 50. Holder, 7 overs, no, 1 maiden, 1 for 66. Mears, who quite interestingly enough got a wicket and then was promptly put on the attack. We're going to put the captaincy of Shea Hope under the microscope as well. 2 overs, and he picked up 1 for 12. Didn't bowl at all again. Smith, I mean, look at this. 2 overs, 32 runs. Hossein, 7 overs, 2 for 49. And your friend, Carabao, 3 overs and 3 balls. No, but there's none for 49. So, I mean, what's happening there? In fact, they won the game with as many as 123 balls to spare, 264 for loss of 6 and only 29 overs and 3 balls. Philo, talk to me. What went wrong today?
Hello, Andrew. Good evening to you, Dr. Ford. Tony Gray, nice to see you. Good evening to the Barbados. Your many listeners, Andrew, Carla, Sheryl Hart, and Heaven. Andrew, the first ODI was a good ODI for West Indies. I thought we assessed the conditions and we played well as a unit. When we got to the final ODI, we seemed to forget what we have done in the second to win. And we have this thing in the Caribbean, we don't like to change the winning 11.
That's true.
But you've got to look at conditions. And Correa can be your spinner. I'm terribly sorry.
No.
I think selectors have got that one wrong. I think Correa is not good enough to be our spinner. That's something we have to look at. I am in agreement with you. We got 34-year-old Shannon Gabriel. I think he should have been given the opportunity. Evie is the man that be looking to shock people in the one-day game. He should be given the opportunity. We saw what Azari Joseph can do. But again, with no support, we see him getting angry. The second ODI, Andrew, South Africa beat us fast.
Mm-hmm.
123 balls left in the one-day game, chasing 260.
Can you imagine that?
That's not licks like peas. That's getting beat fast.
Mm.
Before the Bavuma and a Nokia and a Rabada. So the people played the cricket at their pace. Nowhere in that final one-day game did we even look to slow the game down. Our batters again, Andrew, we saw Brandon King getting in and gets an organized short ball.
Mm-hmm.
Not covering his off stump, and the ball ricocheting to his leg stump because he's not covering the off stump with his back foot. Simple dismissals. I want to know if Rothman Powell, who is the keeper, the captain, and we'll see him next,
mm-hmm.
if he wants to play 50-over cricket.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if Nicholas Poran, who was our white ball captain, if he's really keen on playing 50-over cricket. Because you can still build innings in 50-over cricket, Andrew.
Yes.
And these are the two guys who we expect to hold that middle order together. If the captain fails in the last ODI, you have Poran and Rothman Powell. They're supposed to hold the ship, not run down the pitch and let go a slug at an ordinary ball. I think that our batters need to understand that 50-over cricket, you can still build an innings and get a decent total. And that's why we find ourselves in the bottom all the time, struggling. And we don't know what to do with Carr as a batter. So we just threw him in at the deep end and ask him to swim.
Mm.
But it's quite sad that we have a whole batting unit in this final ODI out of sorts. I thought we had a reasonable start, but then no thinking at all from our batters in that middle order.
Mm-hmm.
And at the bowlers, Andrew, were slaughtered.
Yes.
I watched the game, and it's unbelievable how poorly ODI Smith continues to bowl.
Yes.
And I don't understand how a man who's been playing cricket for quite a while consistently, even on the T20 circuit, and he's not improving at the rate that we expect him to improve at, and it's quite sad. And he holds that key position of that lower middle order where he can strike the ball.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Today he was batting with Azari Joseph. Azari Joseph pushing the ball to mid-off, and Odin Smith is looking to slog everything through the leg side.
Yes.
Rather than try to bat out the remaining overs, 280 would have looked a lot different than 260. Mm-hmm. And these are the kind of small things that our players are not picking up. Bat the entire 50 overs, you have the ability to do it. Bat the 50 overs, you get 280. South Africa approach could have been different. But you got 260 odd, and they said, look, we're going to challenge it, and they beat us fast. And it's just a very poor, or it's an ordinary ODI game today. Captain Shehu, obviously sit down and reflect on where he went wrong as a leader, as a captain in relation to bowling, field placing, all those things will come into play. Well, Kyle Mears didn't bowl more. You know, and he will reflect, and I know he will reflect. He's not in a T20 squad, so he has time to reflect on where he went wrong. A one-all draw, Andrew, is okay, but I honestly thought that if we had put in a bigger effort for the bat and get about 280, we could have made a fist out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But a one-all draw, so good, but we have to go down to qualifiers as well. So we're still not out of the woods.
Not at all.
But a tour where we should obviously come back to this word, learn from.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we can improve going into the qualifiers to the World Cup. And I was very disappointed, David, we all played that game. Very ordinary.
All right. After the commercial break, we come back and get the thoughts of Dr. DeFord. I've said for over 30 years that we're not students of the game, and it really, when you see it, you know, you begin to wonder. We get basic elementary mistakes that we make all the time. All right. Mason and Guest brought to an association with the very good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASFE is the best shot of the day. Boy! Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, Dr. Ford, it's all yours. And my question is Desmond Haynes. Doctor, your assessment, and then I'll follow up by asking if you think that Desmond Haynes is getting it right.
Good night, Andrew, and to our panel and to the listeners. I enjoyed the rant, Andrew. That was better to do that more often. But
yes.
I want to put some realism and context to the whole thing. We have 6 in South Africa playing 10 in West Indies. We have South Africa giving us basically a second string team. They're resting Nokia.
Right.
They're resting Bada. They're interchanging players, 4 and 5 players being interchanged. That being as it may, I would say that the West Indies performance in this series is better than their average performance we've seen over the last 18 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
One good thing is that they batted first. They were brave enough to bat first and put up 2 decent scores. The difference with the 2 matches is 335 versus 260. In the first match, we faced adversity, losing 3 wickets early. But that big partnership with the captain and with help from Puran and also some of the other batsmen got us to 300 plus. Today, we were 120 after about 21 overs. But once Brooks got run out, we kind of capitulated and only scored about 140 in the last 30 overs. So basically, it was a batting problem. That's one of our difficulties. And when you look at it, when you look at the batting, you have to still give kudos to Hope. And Brandon King looks like a great player. His driving was superb. And like I would say some of the others, getting on top of the ball with that great height playing on, the same thing happened with Brooks, who got run out today, even though he looked pretty good. But we have to consider a few things. Is Robin Powell a 50-over player? Averaging 25, I would say no. Mm-hmm. And I would say he doesn't have temperament. I'd say that a guy who's a captain of a team and a vice-captain being stumped by such a wide margin, I don't think his thinking is there, because when you're coming down, you should be blocking the ball and not letting the ball go past you. So, mm-hmm. So it shows that I don't think his temperament is suited to this longer form of cricket. We need another batsman in that team, in the middle, that can respond to shocks of wicket losses and also can play a controlled innings and can accelerate. I think Robin is a finisher. He's a 20-over player and isn't suited. But being that as it may, I can't say that Brooks has shot himself with glory with all the talent that he has. He continues to underperform. And at his age, we have to really wonder, you know, how much longer can we really persevere with him? But be that as it may, our other problem was the bowling, which we saw today. We really only have had 4 bowlers in the series. Joseph continues to be head and shoulders above everybody else. Hussein was his usual consistent best.
Mm-hmm.
Holder was economical but not penetrative. And Mears was on the bowled generally, because he's the only other bowler that bowled economically and with penetration. But I think with Mears, even with his batting, he got out twice trying to pull. So he does have to work on that. And basically, I think his fitness has to be looked at. I still think he's a bit too big to be a world-class all-rounder and to do those dual roles. I think he just needs to lose a little weight and get a little tighter and get more, just get fitter, basically. And I think we could get a lot more out of Mears. The truth is that Smith and Correa just don't belong. Correa is a roller. There's no place in international cricket for a roller. You need, I don't see how we could have a leg break bowler in the Caribbean that was the man the series against Australia and he'd be sent to the wilderness for all this time if we don't persevere with him, and Zampa and all the others are being persevered with. Our cricket can't go anywhere with makeshift players of this type. Smith is obviously immature. The same thing can be said with some of the others on the bench. I don't agree with Gabriel at his advanced age making a comeback now. I think we have to move forward. Mm-hmm. And I don't see the sense of him being in the team or even being considered. I think he was just there in case there was some emergency. So the truth is, we still
say it again, Doc. He was there just what?
There in case of emergency. We are prone to injuries. And you know, Gabriel himself could be injured. It's such a frantic short game. He's not a fielder. He can't bat. And even in the test match, we had to give him just a few overs when the crunch was on and the test captain showed little faith in him when we were trying to press. Press in the test match.
So therefore it brings the whole question of team selection to focus then, Doc.
Yes, it does. I would still say most of these selections are decent selections, but we have to understand that to borrow a phrase from Philo, that every good team in white ball cricket needs a leg break bowler. And we have to work on leg break bowlers and bring in the people, the you know, the specialists and the consultants to get them where we want to be. I don't think that players of the ilk of Correa and some of the others are going to really make it in this
Number two, we need other minutes. Go ahead. Because I think that you are skirting the issue here. I mean, you're criticizing the selection of a Powell, of a Gabriel, and right now Correa and Smith. That's you're talking four players.
But Andrew, there's still some of the better players.
Okay.
That we have in the West Indies. The fact that these players are not maturing and aren't performing the way that they like is one matter, but I can't say that it's far-fetched that most of them were picked. I have always questioned Correa as someone being selected in this type of... I've never liked the selection, but I would tell you that... I would say that I would prefer to see even a younger Carty or one of these other batsmen I think you have to be willing to bat 50 overs, and we need guys that can last for 50 overs. I don't think Robin Powell can command 50 over play, and I think that we should be honest enough to say that. And I believe that if you're going to pick Correa, you could as well have Chase in the team. That's my belief. I'm not saying that Chase is there. And I'm saying that Shepherd, and I'm also saying Shepherd has the same issues that we pointed out. As Smith. Smith and Shepherd are like a twin. They have... They're fast, their radars are faulty, and they play cricket as though it's the last over
of
the match.
I agree. I agree with that now. Yes.
So they are cricketing twins in their method. But certainly they either have to mature or we have to look for some all-rounders that can fill the bill in 50 overs. I don't mind them playing T20 at that frantic pace.
But
certainly for 50 overs, we need to maybe tweak a little bit. And I don't know who those players may be, but we have to look for them.
Right. All right. Tony Gray, let's look at the top. Would you open the batting with Mears and King?
Yeah, listen, I don't have a problem with the batting order. You know, I have a problem with the approaches to batting.
Okay.
You know, I just think that Mears, for example, we know that he can take the bowling apart. And, you know, But I feel that these guys don't value the wicket enough.
Right.
There's not enough balance. So, for example, in the second One Day International game, we had an explosive start between him and Brandon King. And all of a sudden, they're losing wickets. So my thing is that they don't go from, you know, to being aggressive to being a little bit more balanced in the way they approach the game and continue to make big scores. I think that there's an acceptance of 30s and 40s. Perhaps because of this T20 mindset. So I really think, and Philo Wallace mentioned it, you got 72 today. Brandon King is an excellent player. He's a three-format player, and I think that he should be looking for centuries. In his one-day international career, he's not scored a century, and I think that he has that potential and ability to do so. But I think that in the minds of the batsmen, there's an acceptance of, well, I've done enough, I've gotten my 40, I've gotten my 50. Even you have somebody like Puran, who has made an international century already. But, you know, getting
to 50, 40... In 55 ODIs, please get it right, huh?
Right. I'm just saying that
So Mr. Gray, don't miss that. You're missing that.
No, but I'm saying that these guys should be making more centuries.
Yes.
And we must subtly put pressure on them to do so. I mean... It's not good enough when you win a game against South Africa and the one man who is consistently making runs throughout time, which is Shehob, the captain now, he's making a century, and the others are getting to 32, 39 and failing. So there's an acceptance of failure. I didn't like the look of Powell today on the field. It was really atrocious. Vice captain, if something is wrong with him, he should have come off the field.
Yes.
But, you know, it was looking bad.
Remember dropping Bavuna too? I mean, in the game that we won, crucial catch. Yeah. And, I mean, in the end, the partnership between Ngidi added over 50. It was a simple catch. But then I agree with Dr. Ford. He really doesn't look in terms of the ODI games?
Well, yeah, we have to have people with the mindset. Even the bowling, for example, I figure that Odin Smith is much more of a T20 player, a bowler, because you can get away with two overs, perhaps three overs. You can hide him a little bit. My thing is that when you're playing one-day cricket, there must be a one-day mindset. And I remember coaching those guys, Avery Joseph, Odin Smith, and a couple of young fast bowlers in the 50-over regional competition. And I'm saying, what is the mindset that you all have to have? All right? If it's not spoiled, don't try to fix it. But what we saw today was inconsistent lines and lengths. And you go back to Sir Kirtley Ambrose and people like Michael Holin and the late Malcolm Marshall, their mindset was consistency.
Right.
Not much change from the test match arena as relates to lengths. Lines would be slightly different than that sort of thing. You could even pull back your length a little bit in the 50-over game. But what we need as fast bowlers in the 50-over game is getting bunks too, because I'm a firm believer that if you bowl in the right line and length and get bunks, you could curtail batsmen. Mm-hmm. Because what we're seeing now in world cricket, and Phil Wallace will attest to this, is guys hitting through the line and the ball without bunks.
Mm-hmm.
So we need fast bowlers. And Akeem Jordan, to me, could play the one-day internationals. You know, I think that he has the ability to swing the ball, move the ball off the seam. Mm-hmm. He's consistent, strong guy. He's getting a little faster. He gets bunks. Mm-hmm. I think that he doesn't have to have extreme pace to do well in the one-day international game.
Mm-hmm. Just before we go to Philo, and I agree with you in terms of the bunks, if you look at the effort that Joseph put in today, I mean, he bowls some balls that had good bounce. And, I'm of the view that sometimes our bowlers don't give us the kind of effort that they should. And, you know, he got 3 for 50 but didn't get any support at all. So it brings us now to the question of team selection. Phil, are you happy with the selection? In fact, when you look at the remaining players, you got Chase, Shepherd, Carty and Gabriel. Happy with the overall team selection, Phil?
As usual, the selectors are picking who was there before.
Okay.
We won the first ODI, I said earlier, and we have this notion that we don't change a winning team.
Right.
But from that victory, and moving from that venue where we played to this venue,
right,
there have to be differences in mindset, conditions that
exactly.
have to be different.
You're right.
So you are one up and one to go. You go to a ground, you realize maybe the spin is not practical here. Let's bring in an extra batter. Let's bring in Shannon Gabriel, the fast bowler. But you got to assess conditions, Andrew. I don't know who the selectors on tour. I don't think any selectors are traveling, so there might be a Zoom link to link up with the lead selector. I don't know what they in South Africa are telling the lead selector. But you could clearly see today that surface offered something.
I did. Of course
it
did. There's
a young guy from South Africa that I like, a man called Coates.
Yes.
He'll lick down people.
Yeah, he's a good. Yeah, I like him.
He bowled fast every ball.
Yep.
He's 20-something years old, but he's bowled fast every ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be a handful in world cricket. And we need that kind of cricketer. We don't have. We thought Odie Smith would have been that kind of person. He's not.
No.
So when you look at the West Indies, the squad that they had there, you get into that final ODI, you got to assess the conditions carefully. You want to win. So if Correa can't make an impact in the first one, try somebody else, because we need to win. I don't think we pick sometimes. I don't think we selectors. I don't know what they're thinking sometimes when they're picking these 11. Because clearly, if you got a 34-year-old man who you said was bowling well and all 50-over,
yes,
and you pick him because of that,
and then put him on the bench.
You're playing the second.
And then put him on the bench.
And you won. Mm-hmm. So you're scratching your head. Should we give him a lot? Should we give him this last game? No, you put him down, but you realize that the conditions would have suited him.
Of course.
A game too, Andrew. It is management on the field, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw my vice captain at deep point and all kind of thing. I don't know how he can relate to captain who keep him.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that I look at. My vice captain at deep point and all kind of thing at the boundary. Mm-hmm. So your vice captain got to be in there. You got to be in there helping your captain. Mm-hmm. It's his first series, and you as your vice captain who have been around for a little while, you got to be in there helping the captain. If you're so far away, I don't see how much communication could be going on between Shane Hope and Powell. And these are things that we need to iron out. Mm-hmm. I hope it's not like that. But when you look at it, Andrew, our squads need a bit more thought process in them. Mm-hmm. Our series are only 2 and 3 matches. So you must get your squads correct. South Africa can leave out people. I know they're at home. But they left people out and they brought in guys who perform. We took guys on tour and we afraid to play them, you know. You know, I forget that Casey Carty in South Africa.
Yes. This what I call it.
There's a guy there's a guy who we taught a year ago, a couple of months ago, would have stabilized on Midlothian, you know.
Right.
But being trying in South Africa where the pitches were bouncing. So when are we going to try against India when the pitches are low?
Yeah.
So these are the things I don't like. If you're picking a squad, you have to be able to tell the selectors when they go on tour, all of these guys are capable enough of representing West Indies. Mm. It makes no sense you're telling me you pick a man for emergency in an ambulance. You don't pick a man for emergency. You gotta pick a man to play.
Yes.
At some stage, he must be able to play for West Indies.
Exactly.
And that's why I want to see our squads look like. Guys that you could take out and put in and play.
Yes.
Not a fella there because you're carrying him, but that don't work anymore.
No. Not at all.
No.
Okay, we're going to pause our business calls. When we come back, of course, we're going to continue this discussion. I'm going to try to make a connection across the Caribbean. But I certainly agree with you, Philo, just before we go to the break. You know, when you look at Joseph today, I may watch all the game, bowling with pace, good bounce, but didn't have any support. And this is something that we really need to look at. And I certainly believe that if Gabriel is there, certainly he should have played in the game, particularly when you look at what happened in the game that you won. Now, 221-8, we had a situation where Bavuma and Ngidi took the score into the 280s. They added 50. And luckily for us, we got Bavuma out and we won the game. So when you do your analysis, clearly you must come to the conclusion that I need to beefen, as we would say in Barbados, the bowling. They didn't do it. And as Flo said, they decided to play the same side. But in success is also failure. And if we continue to play bits and pieces, bowlers like Odean Smith, who should be bowling fast? Odean Smith is bowling at the pace of Tony Gray. No, he's not going to worry anybody. You know, this dibbly dobbly thing that Odean Smith is bowling, a big strong man, eating all the Atkins office in Jamaica and bowling at baby pace. Come in and bowl fast, man. In the halcyon days of West Indies cricket, we dominated because we were quick and people feared us. Nowadays, we got, some chihuahuas, man. We need some pit bulls. Let's pause for business calls. When we come back, I'm going to go to you, Tony Gray, who, of course, is a pit bull as well. Mason and Guest, brought in association with a very good friend, ASAP White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASAP White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Just before we go back to Tony Gray, remember, Gabriel made the side, according to the reports, and I saw there was a release from Cricket West Indies with excerpts coming from the lead selector that based on his performance in this Super 50, when he bowled with pace, despite him being 34, he was selected. I mean, did that go through the window, Tony Gray?
Listen, I saw him at Brian Lara. I thought he bowled tremendously fast. I'm talking about 90 miles an hour deliveries. He was consistent. And when you have that type of pace and that kind type of consistency, it will be troubling for batsmen in any format of the game. You talk about Odean Smith just now, and you know, a couple of years going back, he was bowling fast. He was bowling some 90 miles an hour deliveries. I mean, we saw him.
Yeah, he was sharp, very sharp.
Yeah, in CPL. So my thing is, watching these guys, they don't have the consistent run-ups. Odean Smith struggled with consistent run-ups and the consistent bowling actions. And sometimes he gets it right and sometimes he struggles. So my thing is that what is being done with these guys to improve them and to make them consistently fast, we look at Alzari Joseph, his mindset has changed because in test match cricket, he's been given the new ball and he's brought that into the one-day scenario. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is always trying. He gives 150% all of the time. And we really need additional pace. And I think the lead selector is right when he said that Akeem Jordan, although we don't have extreme pace, we have to pick the guys who can move around the ball, who have good enough pace, but can achieve the bounce. So Akeem Jordan, in my opinion, based on his ability in regional cricket too, that he's shown in the One Day games, he should have been on that side as a One Day bowler too.
Ahead of whom?
Well, I mean, Odin Smith to me is much more of a T20 bowler.
Okay.
Listen, when you play in One Day cricket, you devise game plans and you need people who can be consistent enough to carry out those game plans. I think that Odin Smith is instinctive as a bowler
right.
and as a batsman. And I don't think the thought processes are there when it relates to him.
All right, 4341790, the line's open. Philo, just before you come in, let's always make these regional connections. Let's go to Jamaica now and talk to Darren Powell, who was sharp. I think he was quite clearly much faster than Odin Smith. Hello. Hello to you, Darren. How are you?
I am not bad.
Okay, what part of Jamaica are you? Are you in Clarendon?
No, St. Elizabeth.
Okay, wonderful. It's a wonderful place. You must take Dr. Ford down there and give him some good, what do they serve down there? They have good ackee and saltfish, living banana. Now, what's your assessment of this defeat today, Darren Powell? Tell me, what went wrong?
I think we have lost it in our batting.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you come out to bowl, when you had the time to squeeze them a bit, but before we go to the bowling, I must say we have batters who the wicket seems like it was difficult to get in.
Ooh.
But once you get in, you will score on it. And I think we didn't apply ourselves as much as we did in the first game. And when you look at the way the captain batted in the second one ODI
right.
when he scored that 100. Mm-hmm. Everybody came in and they attacked around him while he just continued to bat his sweet merry way. Now we had quick wickets. We had wickets stumbling all over. And we didn't find somebody who was willing to graft,
mm-hmm.
you know, and build that kind of partnership for us to give us that run, you know, to take us to the 300 mark. And when you look at the score that we had, losing up to the seventh wicket, and we add another 30, 40 runs there to you know, if we had somebody there batting, I think we could have gotten more runs. Mm-hmm. And the other thing about it too, I am not sure what position they wanted to use Odin Smith, because once he's in an ODI team mm-hmm. or a 2020 team, I think he can bat early and try to make that gamble, because he's
right.
always been attacking
mm-hmm.
and try to change things a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we have lost it there. Nevertheless, we made 260. And when we look at the score at, 100 and add for five?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that monster of a batting, you know, 100 of some 50 are deliveries. I think at times we could have slowed the game down a bit with that man going guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did not do that, and we paid the price.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Tell us a bit about Odin Smith, though. You're saying that you would want him maybe to come as a pinch hitter. Is that what you're saying?
Just bat his regular position. He bat somewhere around eight,
right.
number eight or number seven at times.
Right.
I think we could have used him then,
mm-hmm.
other than to hold him and hold him and hold him,
mm-hmm.
and then it works out almost the same way.
Oh, I see.
But sometimes when you have a batsman at the crease and he is able to play his game, you will see, you know, a bit of a change in bowling. And if you look at some of his good innings when he is playing in the T20 for the Talawas or for Guyana Amazon Warriors,
mm-hmm.
he has always been scoring runs when somebody is there and he has time.
Right.
At the crease. Mm-hmm. Once he's there with tail-enders, he never seems to carry on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we have to read the game some more,
mm-hmm.
you know, and use him as a float.
A floater.
Something
yes.
almost like what Andrew Simons used to do for Australia.
Yes, yes. That's an interesting comment you're making. I certainly agree with that. But what about his bowling, though? Has it gone off the boil?
Odin have a lot to do with his bowling, especially when it comes to these T20 and ODI cricket. He is a specialist ODI player. Once you hear his name, you're not going to think about Test cricket. And he has to work out now a way in which he's going to score. He's going to contain the batters. One, because he's either short or he's either full.
Mm.
He doesn't have that consistent in-between length.
Mm-hmm.
And that is and the variation of pace is very key for him too.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to work out at this level because he's playing franchise cricket all over the cricketing countries.
Right.
And he has still not worked out what is his number one bowling tactic.
I agree.
And I think that will cost him sometime, maybe his game.
Mm-hmm.
And in this time, you know, you don't want to be out of the game for too long. So he has to plan to work pretty fast and do what's best for ODI cricket for him to stay and do well.
Mm-hmm. Now, just before we go back to Philo, an interesting comment. Oh, you were saying something, Tony?
Yeah, I want to ask Darren a question
sure.
about Odin Smith. I mean, a lot of times we talk about consistency with the bowlers, but we don't understand the problems, the original parts of the problems. In coaching, you call it action-reaction. I personally think that Odin Smith has to increase his run-up distance
mm-hmm.
and be more consistent with his stride patterns so that he can be consistent with his bowling action. But we talk about consistency without understanding the nature of the problem or the origins of the problem. My thing is that he's been using this run-up. He's physically matured. He's gotten bigger and stronger. And he's not increased the run-up distance to allow him to be
You say he's gotten bigger? You say he's gotten yeah. bigger and stronger?
Yeah, we've seen it a lot.
Are you
lot,
sure about
a
that?
Lot of time.
Are you sure with that? He looks pretty overweight to me.
We've seen it a lot of times, Andrew, where fast bowlers from 15 years old, they have the same run-up distance and their bodies are changing.
Yes.
I don't think that he's consistent with his run-up, so he cannot be consistent with his bowling action.
Okay.
And work needs to be done in Jamaica. And also, these problems are compounded by T20 cricket because, you know, he's not thinking about pace a lot of the time. He's thinking about cutting the ball and bowling slow deliveries. And we want fast bowlers who have serious pace.
Mm. I see. All right,
but another thing on that too, a very critical point in what you said. But the other part of the story is these guys are now dealing not with coaches. They are dealing with agents. And agents are taking them from one place to the other after each tournament. They don't have time to settle down with a coach. And you get into a team right now, you see, most of these coaches is either batting coach or just somebody who goes come up as a coach. There is not specific coaches that will help them in a T20 squad when they travel around the world. And these are the things that is hurting our players here who is not into a proper system because we're talking about building West Indies cricket and building this and building that. These are the things that worries me when I hear about presidents and these coming in. Because there is not a structure developed here or is here in the Caribbean that when somebody leaves from an arena and they have their off time, they get into a little biomechanic era where somebody can fine-tune these little things with them.
Just before you go, in relation to Rodman Powell, Dr. Ford is suggesting that he should play T20 and not the ODIs. Do you agree with that?
Listen, these guys are good enough cricketers. Once you're able to hit the ball wherever you can,
right,
in a shorter form of the game, I believe that you should have enough sense understand that now, all right, this is a longer version of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Spend some more time at the crease. And when you get the ball in your hitting area, you hit.
Mm-hmm.
I look at Puran batting the other day. Puran have the ball into his mercy.
Yes.
And still was reluctant in rotating the strike.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened to all of these guys who are just
but what do you think
going
is that,
around and playing T20 cricket.
Why do you think that Puran wasn't rotating the strike?
He all right, look at how he was batting. He was hitting boundaries.
Yeah.
How he got out. He got out still trying to score boundaries.
Yeah, he looks a little heavy to me too, huh? He doesn't want to run. Looks a little heavy too. You see?
Exactly.
I mean, and we underestimate the importance of fitness, huh? Puran has put on quite a bit of weight. Have you seen that?
So
therefore this fella's not gonna run singles.
Well, you see, these are the things that is very worrying and troublesome for us.
Yep.
We have quality players who can hit boundaries,
yes,
but for T20.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look, they were in Pakistan, and they moved from Pakistan straight into the 50-over cricket. They didn't have any time even to settle down.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the problem that we're facing.
Mm.
And not until we have our structures right here in the Caribbean being done in the right and proper manner, we're going to have our good days and more bad days, because we're going to win for one day and then we feel like, yes, we did well enough, and then the next day we're done.
Darren, you believe the selectors got it right in terms of the selection of Shannon Gabriel and Yannick Correa?
The selectors are doing well. The selectors are selecting from the best we have.
Ooh.
It's just the matter of these players not playing their role. Mm. They're getting the opportunity too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
would you pick Correa?
A couple of seasons ago, we were debating about players and their fitness and people and their overweight.
Mm.
And it creeped right back into the system.
Mm.
So what is it that we need to do to make everybody be in a balance?
But Darren, let's look at Shannon Gabriel. Would you have picked Shannon Gabriel and not play him?
No.
What would you have done? That's highly impossible.
Mm. If you have him in the squad, he's the fastest bowler you have, apart from Joseph.
Right.
So once you have him, I would have used him.
Right. Particularly for this game as well.
When you look at it, then now you're going to tell me now that he is only there if somebody gets injured.
Yeah, can you imagine? So, an emergency,
right,
according
and
to Dr. Ford.
Picking a World Cup squad, if we're going to pick a World Cup squad, I think a World Cup is around the corner again.
Yes.
What are we going to do?
Mm.
So we have to give everybody a fair run.
Right.
And their fair opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Final question is, the head's just past 7 o'clock in the country. I know with interest that your good friend there, Dr. Billy, is he a doctor? I know Dr. Kishore Shallow pulled out. Billy Haven pulled out of the race in relation to being the president. Were you surprised by that?
Well, I was surprised of his nomination. But pulling out, I don't think I find myself surprised. I'm more on the happier side.
Oh, okay. All right, so you were surprised that he wanted a job in the first place then?
Exactly. I was a bit surprised. I was a bit taken back.
Why were you surprised that he wanted the big job?
It is very simple. If you have Brian Lara in a cricket team and he's playing 10 matches and not scoring, you would be surprised if Brian not scoring, because you know what quality he has.
Yes.
But you have a Darren Powell coming batting at number 3.
Mm.
You never hear him batting at number 3 before. That will be a surprise. It's just
well
for me
said
to tell the selectors, hey, I can't manage.
Well said.
And Billy hasn't proved himself as a head of cricket here in Jamaica. Then how can he manage so many other territories?
Mm.
You know, so I'm very happy that he made a wise decision, because I'm yet to see now what support he will do now if he continues as a vice president. And I also want to see what he will do now for Jamaica cricket.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Interesting. All right, well, we're going to leave it there. Always good to hear from you, the man from St. Elizabeth. Is it the breadbasket of Jamaica? Lovely food there in St. Elizabeth. Thanks to you for coming through, Darren Powell, and talking to us, amazing and guests.
Well, you're welcome.
All right, good. Thank you very much indeed. It's coming up to 5 minutes past the off 7 o'clock. We are joined by Sir Clive Hubert-Lloyd. Hello, Sir Clive. How are you? You look very comfortable there. Where are you? Are you in Georgetown or are you in Bridgetown? Are you in London? Where are you, Sir Clive? We're not hearing you. Dr. Ford, can you help Sir Clive? He's muted.
What is the usual thing?
Can you hear me?
Oh, we can hear you loud and clear. I was asking, where are you? Are you in Bridgetown or Georgetown or are you in London?
I'm in London.
Oh, you're in London. Okay. I thought you were in the States giving Donald Trump some support, because it appears as if he needs some support, Donald Trump.
I think he needs legal support. I'm not a legal.
I see. So, Clive, it's good to see you. Your reaction to the West Indies loss today? What went wrong, Sir Clive?
Well, looking at it, I just looked at the replay here, and the point is that we're giving away too many bad balls per over.
Yes.
We're bowling short, very short, and guys who are medium pace, and they're not trying to move it around and try and do something, bowling to the field. It was not a very good display, and I believe they could have made a few more runs too. But, I think what is happening with our cricket is that our youngsters are not playing enough four-day cricket. And we must realize that the longer game improves your shorter game.
Right.
Mm. And I'm not getting enough of that. Our standard has got to be, rise a bit. Our inter-island cricket.
Mm.
And I think that is our problem. In the old days, you're going back to the old days, you played against Barbados with pace, a little bit of spin. Guyana was a bit of both. Trinidad was a bit of spin and seam. Jamaica was a bit of both. And then you had the leavers and the windwards later on. But the point is, when you if you played 2 years
mm-hmm.
of inter-island cricket, your technique and so on was taken care of. You learned to play against all those guys,
mm-hmm.
The different types of bowlers and so on. At the moment, we don't have that. We don't play enough four-day cricket. And when we do, we don't have the stars. They've gone to play 20 overs, so
yes,
T20 cricket. Mm-hmm. So that is our problem. Our youngsters are not getting the chance to play against top-class bowling.
That's true. Very good comments. 4341790. The lines are open. Certainly give us a call and participate in the show. Philo, your reaction to anything that was said by your good friend, Mr. Powell, or Sir Clive?
Well, obviously, Darren, to me, Andrew, he made some good points, but obviously, we look at D. Smith as a floater. He's not a boat. I don't think we need a floater versus cricket. We need a man to develop and bowl properly, yep. and bat properly.
Mm.
We saw Odin Smith a couple of years ago. We thought that he was the real deal in relation to
yes.
batting and bowling. You could bowl high 80s into the 90s. You don't know he slipped out of radar. You look at someone like Kimo Paul and those guys, they're going to be stomping at the pit. Ralph Powell obviously has to get his head right. Andrew, he has a T20 series started shortly, and I hope that he will go and do well for us and hope we can win that. Sir Clive is saying what all the others have been saying. Our cricketers need to play four-day cricket.
Mm-hmm.
The territorial boards need to drill into these guys the importance of playing four-day cricket. Because when you look at it, when Sir Clive used to play, our test team used to be our 50-over team.
Right.
So there wasn't a big lot of changes, maybe one or two players, but the 50-over side in Clive Lloyd's time, it's a test side. So obviously, with test cricket, a one-day cricket, you still have the same attributes. You've got to learn a bit of innings. You've got to know when to be explosive. You've got to know when to come back and that kind of thing. So all players need to play the longer format. How do we convince them that the four-day game is the game to develop them? It's down to the territorial boards. Dr. Shallow, who is soon going to be president, and I have a question. When Dr. Shallow becomes the president of Cricket West Indies, is he also going to hold the title of president of the Leeward Islands Cricket Association? Is he going to relinquish the president of the Leeward Islands Cricket Association? Because clearly you cannot be two presidents of two cricket boards.
Mm.
But somewhere along the line, there will be conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know if he's going to relinquish the Leeward Islands Cricket Board position as a president.
Interesting. All right. On another note, we got a call coming in. The line's open. Let's take this call as it heads to 10 minutes past the off 7 o'clock. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hello, good night, Mason.
Good night to you.
Good. This is the second time I'm calling this show.
Second time. When was the first?
The first time me and Phil Wallace had a discussion about Shamar Brooks, but the conversation is not about him tonight.
Okay.
I call to support you. Strongly support you.
Yes.
Desmond Haynes ain't no going on. Desmond Haynes, as our chief selector, is a failure. Look at the results that we had in the testing. The results that we got in the testing was synonymous with the team that we picked. There's nowhere in any form of cricket that you're going to enter a test match game with three specialist batsmen. Our complete middle order.
Right.
Made up of all bits and pieces.
Yes.
We entered that game with five all-rounders.
Yes.
Where in test cricket would that ever obtain? Three specialist batsmen, two opening batsmen, and Blackwood.
Yes.
That's it. We got the results based on the batting that we picked. And Craig Brassett, I must say, he's pathetic as a captain. He's not learning, and I don't know what to do with Craig Brassett. And the combination of Desmond Haynes picking the team, Craig Brassett captaining it, is disaster for West Indies cricket.
Oh, my.
That is my contribution, sir.
All right. Now, Philo, Dr. Shallow listens to this program very often, and he's saying, hello, Andrew, tell Philo that I will be relinquishing the position as president of the Winwood's board. So he's already reacted. He's sending another. He's also sending another note. I can see him typing. So you don't have to worry, Philo. Your good friend, Dr. Shallow, who is the undisputed leader, he is decided, well, he's going to relinquish the position. And he says he'll be on next program. So, of course, you can respond to him. You got another call? We do. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests. 13 past the big hour of 7 o'clock.
This Tuesday evening at 6:15 on VOB and VOB929.com, join us. Mason and Guest, the best. Why can't we beat South Africa? We lose under Brian Lara. We lose under Craig Brathwaite. How much more can we take? Dr. the Most Honorable Anthony Carter, known as the Mighty Gabby, once said, Lord, send an answer for we. Compliments. ESAP Right Ram, the best shot of the day.
Andrew, can I ask?
Yes.
Andrew, can I ask a question?
Sure. Yes, Sir
Clive. Can Brandon King?
Yes.
Is he just a one-day player? You don't think he might be able to play the longer game?
Dr. Ford, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I think I have said that Brandon King is someone that we should have looked at for the longer game. He is compact. He looks an orthodox player and drives the ball better than lots of players in the West Indies. I mean, we need guys that are willing to soak up balls at the back. He looks like a guy that could develop. And it's for the selectors to look beyond stats and look at the aptitudes, the way people go about their game and decide who is suitable for, you know, for what type of game. That's very important. Andrew, I got an interesting message from a listener who,
yes,
who said, let me give you that. He said that you wanted Odine Smith to play just a few months ago and dropped Shannon Gabriel. Now you've gone full circle. He said, hello, Dr. Ford. Wasn't it just a few months ago that Andrew Mason was calling for Smith to be included in a West Indies team, also for the omission of Shannon Gabriel?
Okay. Now, when was he talking about that? About what period?
But
Dr. Ford, you drop and you pick players.
Hold on. Which team was
I calling for the gentleman you're speaking about to play? When was that? Just don't make that generalization. But be specific, doctor.
It just shows that the fortunes of players do change. And,
yes.
And the pitch can change. So I think you could accept that.
But what recollection do you have? Do you have a better recollection than the gentleman? Do you have a better recollection than the gentleman?
Yeah, I recollect that he does have a point. I'd like to say something of importance.
But what point does he have, Doc? That what?
The point opinions can change. The point is that people...
Can I come in here?
I had a look at the manifesto of Dr. Shallow.
Yes.
And it is very well written. It is thoughtfully written and it sounds good. But when you look at his four pillars...
Yes.
And you look at the plethora of points that is under each pillar, when you assess the number of new creations within those four pillars, there were probably four things he wanted to create. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it really mentioned just a continuation or an improvement or, you know, a tweak of something, but there wasn't a lot of creation being done. And some of the areas that you would have thought would have had a lot of creation and new things would have been governance and cricket development and some of the others. And I say that the manifesto, even though well written and, you know, is something that we can appreciate from an academic point of view.
Right.
I don't think that this type of change that was mentioned, this significant change in the fortunes of West Indies cricket is reflected in the document. And that's one of my issues with it. The marketing and commercial side, the governance and the cricket development did not have new initiatives that really jumped out at me.
Interesting.
But a lot of it was kind of trying to continue to develop and improve and assist. And I think that when we look at having 18 directors in Cricket West Indies,
right,
experienced men and women who've been there for a long time, I think that they should be able to create this significant change that we want to have in our cricket. This paradigm shift is not reflected in the document. And I hope that at this meeting and going forward that we can have ideas that represent a paradigm shift when we sit here and discuss the fortunes of the team and what we think needs to be done and what happens to players. A lot of it has to do with the production. And we have to look around too at even the candidates for president. Can you look around the region and look at the administrators of the region and really tell me of the brilliant shining lights as administrators within the region? And are they people of great consequence and magnitude that we can think of to be Cricket West Indies president? I think that we have to unearth some new thinking and a big shakeup needs to be done in all the pillars that were mentioned in the manifesto and in Cricket West Indies structure as it is. So I think that was an important thing to say. Now that there are no candidates around, it's just my opinion, but I think it's important if we want to really do something about the cricket instead of wringing our hands and trying to poke at the players and other things. We need a structural change. Definitely.
No, I agree with that. And in fact, Dr. Shallow did in fact send a note and he's saying that he will be very much on the show next week. 4241790, you can give us a call. Just a couple of housekeeping matters before we go to Philo. Can we take a call? We can. Yeah, let's take the call and then just a couple of things I have to say. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
I think we lost that.
We lost that call. Okay, just a couple of things. Well, as I told you earlier, lots happening in Barbados. We got the Maxwell Tape Ball competition. Just got a note from them asking if we could just say it on the show. We'd be only too happy to do that. And of course, it's on the 25th, and it's a big T20 because the first prize is what, $6,000. Wonder if Philo Wallis is sponsoring. It's a big company in Barbados. The losers get 3,000. The third place, 1,000. And that is going to be at Bar Hall. It's on the 25th, 6:30. And Mark's Auto Spares team, the Bel Air Stars, up against MacLees Oystons. The Bar there, they'll be playing. So that is the Maxwell Tate Ball Competition, T20, on March the 25th. And that's at 6:30 at Bear Hall. And a prize in terms of the first prize of $6,000. And this really is very good indeed. We can have some good players like Shamar Holder, Rivaldo Clark is going to be in there as well. Prasad, I see Kevin Wickham, Jaden James. These are all people that are going to be very much involved. We want to thank the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Community Empowerment for being very much a part of that to ensure that we can have such a competition. 4241790, of course, is the number. We can take a call. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
I just would like to make an observation. I'm not big on your program and the cricket thing, but I find that we go over the same thing over and over every time West Indies play a game. Right. I would like to advise that whoever is coaching the West Indies team get all the tapes from the IPL women's cricket team. Mm-hmm. Put the West Indies team to sit down and look at how you feel, how you bat, and what your techniques look like. And then I think the West Indies cricket board should get a coach, not from the Caribbean, and don't let me say that Caribbean got coaches and this. They want somebody that don't know the players and the players don't know them. Mm. The man was allowed to bring three of his own staff, and you bring a team, a set of men in a camp, and he picked the ones that he think he can work with and build a team. Because this going around the bush about this body, when you pick them, they're good, and after two tours, they don't do anything, it's making absolutely no sense. And West Indies cricket is going nowhere. Watching them play today, no killer instinct. No. You win one, you won one game, and you have a chance to win a series, and you bowl a set of crap. It's not that you can't bowl. Mm. It's disgusting. The feeling and the misfeeling and the smiling. You know, that is going nowhere.
I agree
so
with
I
you.
So I just wanted to make that observation. Thank you and have a good
night. It's always good to hear from you. Please call us again on Mason and Guest. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Can we take another
Andrew?
Just hold on. Hold your horses there, Sir Clive. Just one minute. Let's take this call and we come back to you. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good evening. Happy New Year to everybody in Barbados.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year in March.
Okay, yeah, because every time I call anybody and letting me in.
Oh, really? You're in now?
Chinese New Year.
Yeah.
Chinese New Year. Yes, Happy New Year
to you. This is what I want to say. Good night, Clive Lloyd.
So, Clive, caller, give him his handle. Caller, give him his handle. Sir Clive.
I said good night, Sir Clive.
Thank you.
Great cricketer. I love you.
Good night.
No. Caller, you got it wrong again. Caller, you got it wrong again. Great cricketer.
Cricketer.
Good.
One of the greatest. I think the greatest captain the world ever seen. Anyhow, now, a guy called just now and says it's a disaster, the thing. Did the disaster start with the president? Now, how can we trust him? When he was his vice president, he said it was going to bring a legend. I have not seen yet a legend. He has not, the fair thing, that has not do what they say. So how can he have no competition? What happened? Nobody don't want to run. Nobody don't want to challenge. Because I think he should be challenged. Because anytime you, as a politician or something, you said something to get in, and when you get in, you have not done what you say, how can people trust you to put you back there? It's all good and great to write up all these things, what you can do. But you had a chance. You never did anything. Who says that you're going to do what you say you're going to do now? Or is that another political stunt to get back in?
Interesting.
One. Two. Now, people are crying, you know, Desmond Haynes. Desmond Haynes has no right to that position.
Why not?
We got to the greatest. I'll tell you why. Desmond Haynes should be the batting coach. We had the greatest opening pair the world ever seen. Now, Craig Bradford got ball in the first test match.
Right.
Not moving the stick. If Craig Bradford is shoved across the stump, there's no way in this world that ball could have bowled Craig Bradford. Those openers need help. The first five. Grenade and Haynes should be helping those. We want somebody, Charlotte Best, should be helping those guys to play the short pitch bowling. Right. I grew up as a child watching Charlotte Best. You know me was on the hard court. I was batting on the hard court.
Right.
And Charlie told me, if you have so much time to stand up and wait for the ball and put it in front of you, he said, get in position and help the man and make the send a statement that the Cowboys and the North is at you.
Right.
We want people that know the game,
mm-hmm.
that play the game,
right.
that can care the people. We bring in all types of second hand and third hand people and requiring. We ain't going nowhere. We got to start at the top. Then he head back, the whole body back. From Jimmy Allen, want removing from that position and bring the whole thing, want removing
mm.
and bring people that could do the job and not, you cannot bring your friends. But mm. I never yet.
So hold on, caller. So you're saying you would fire Jimmy Adams?
Of course, before a mm. shadow of a doubt.
Okay.
He said before you about 4 years ago.
Okay.
Years ago.
What about Desmond Haynes?
I removed Desmond Haynes. He's in the wrong position.
Mm. Oh, okay. So you're not firing him, you're shifting him. You're shifting him. Okay.
And if these people know anything about cricket,
right.
they would have never given that head coach position.
Oh, the batting coach.
Problem.
Oh, I see.
And they need them to somebody that could push them, teach
right.
them to push the ball around.
Right.
Run ones and twos.
Mm.
For the London game.
All right.
100 ones is 100.
All right. Caller, we got to go because it's 7:27. There are several people waiting to get through. We got, of course, Philo Wallace and Tony Gray and Sir Clive is with us as well. Very much a part of this team. Tony is our good friend Desmond Haynes in the wrong position? Is that a difficult question?
Listen, what we want to do, and being a selector in this era of West Indies cricket is very difficult because our standards in the Caribbean are very low, right? So as Clive Lloyd was saying, the players cannot make the transition that we want to see into international cricket. Because the standards are low. So we're blaming selectors. They would see things differently. I've been a selector before. Mm. And in the room, you see things differently. You try to mix and match. And the thing about it is that you have other people to hear their opinions. So I think that the problem is the standard of West Indies cricket. And we cannot focus on one individual.
Right.
We have to look at the systemic problems that we have and also the individuals that can be better. I think that we have to look at being creative
mm-hmm.
and getting everybody involved. And when I say it's a Caribbean thing, cricket is a Caribbean thing. I think that we have to get the universities involved. The governments have a part to play in bringing monies into the coffers. I just think that we have to use the culture to really and truly drive home the monies that is needed in West Indies cricket. And we have to do research. My thing is, Sir Clive Lloyd would have played in Guyana. Sir Clive Lloyd would have been one of the greatest captains of all time, the greatest West Indian captain of all time. Sir Clive Lloyd was a great batsman, but how many people know about how he grew?
Mm.
All right, what did he do as a young boy? I talk to Sandy Roberts all of the time, and it's a pleasure talking to him because he gives me great insight to understand why he was so good as a fast bowler.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing like Brian Lara. I would talk to his family and I'd say, well, Whitner, the same thing that he used to do, Bradman used to do,
right.
Hit a golf ball. So we have to go into the depths of the analysis of our greats to understand why they were great. My thing with technology, and the lady spoke about it, one of the callers, she said that, listen, why do we not use technology to see the techniques of Sir Gordon Greenidge,
right?
The most honorable Dr. Desmond Haynes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so simple to watch the differences, all right? Back and across movement, the ability mm-hmm. to hook the ball,
right.
the ability to keep the eyes on the ball, the ability not to be fearful because they had the opportunity to play against great fast bowlers. So I just think that we've beaten the bush and I don't think that we are, the will is not there to understand why we had this best cricket team of all time.
Mm, interesting. Okay, we're going to pause for business call. When we come back, we go to Philo, and of course, Sir Clive is with us as well. 7:30 in the country, Mason and Guest brought in association with our very good friends at ASFE Wet Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE, the white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, Philo. Dr. Shallow is saying that he's going to relinquish the position, so that should make you happy, Philo.
Well, that's the prudent thing to do, Andrew. Corporate governance, you can't serve two masters. So you have to give up one, and I'm happy that he's going to, obviously, he's going to give up the Windward Islands and focus his energy on Cricket West Indies and make it a better and stronger and more cohesive board in relation to decision-making for cricket in the West Indies. So I'm happy for that is happening.
Philo, somebody's sending a note here, and they're asking me to ask you, on a different note, Barbados' performance against the Leewards being 59 without loss and to be all up for 78. But what went wrong there, Philo? Somebody wants to know your opinion on that.
They're just poor batting.
Ooh.
Andrew, very poor batting indeed. I watched the game and I was shocked because Devon Thomas, a little medium pacer, picking up 5 wickets. Everybody's afraid of Cornwall. This guy can bowl a decent off break, but they're just batting him. That's the problem. They just have to survive. I think we had a lead, and we lost the game because we got bowled out for 78 and allowed the Leewards to bat that evening period.
Right.
And they bat the evening period without losing a wicket.
Mm-hmm.
So coming back in the third morning, it's going to be very easy for them. They just have to pace themselves. And Powell batted well. It came down to a little skelter in the bottom, but the Leewards would have always set up themselves to win that game. I got a Barbados panic in that second innings. And nobody seemed to want to hold the fort.
Mm.
When you don't have communication. That is why I don't understand. We got a head coach and an assistant coach who have played for Barbados. And I like to see messages being sent out. Listen, relax. The Leewards play aggressive cricket. They come at you. Just relax. And just see out the day. Don't let us get pulled out on that day. Let's come back the next day and do a reassessment. But we just fall down under the Leewards. I congratulated Powell for a wonderful 100. Because I believe that he has been unfair to West Indies cricket.
Okay.
That he against South Africa in the last year, he looked good. He was challenging Nokia and those. But when he went, they didn't take him to Sri Lanka. And obviously, he lost favor, but he's worked hard at this game, and I'm happy that he scored 100, Andrew, because I think that when you're looking at cricket, you've got to look at temperament, particularly in batters, guys who can fight it out and who are willing to challenge the short ball. So I'm happy that the Leewards have beaten Barbados, because then it gives Barbados now an opportunity to look at themselves and realize, well, we're not as strong as we thought we were. We now have to regroup and come better. And I thought, again, handling of our bowlers, we need to be. I think that Captain Dowridge needs to find pairing. When I captain Barbados, I find a bowler who I can pair together.
Right.
You got a Mason Reed and a Handy Bryan. You got a Dale Mearnin and a Patterson Thompson. You got a Handy Broom and a Terry Rollock. You need to pair. You got a Dave Marshall. You need to pair your bowlers so that you will know when crisis comes, you can turn to that person.
Right.
So again, it's all a learning process and a learning curve for Shane Dowridge, but he needs to learn quickly because there are only 2 more matches and we're defending champions.
Right.
So I'm very disappointed that we'll be batting in the second innings. The Leewards have won the game. Congratulations to them. They just have to pick up the pieces and do a come better for the next game. I realize that Barbados has made 3 changes. The captain is back in the squad.
He's actually out now. The release just came out. He's actually not there. A Roshan Worrall from the Carlton side has replaced him. And I know that my good friend there, the sports editor of The Nation, Ezra Stroke, was saying that he thought that Mr. Worrall should have even been in the Barbados Super 50 squad. Just looking for that release. I'm sure I saw it. Yes. Here we go. The release states that, Craig Bathurst is out. And we have a situation where Roshan Worrall from the Carlton side has, in fact, replaced him. So Craig Bathwaite, that is the situation there. So, interesting. All right. No.
So we lost that game, Andrew, because we got blown in the second innings of 78. That's why we lost. You know, and it's just unfortunate, but we learn and we have to move forward and get stronger for the next game. We are better as well.
Right. All right. Now, Sir Clive, what role do you think the legend should play? Now, you got Dr. Kishore Shallow being the president. What role would you want to see for the legend, Sir Clive?
Well, the point is that we have some of the greatest players ever. And they're not involved with our cricket.
Hmm.
You know, I told Desmond when he got the job, I said, and you can ask him, I said, you've got the wrong job. I said, you should be coaching those guys.
Okay.
You're a batsman of class. I said, you should be coaching our batsmen. And he agreed with me. But you see, the point is nobody, we're not thinking this thing properly. Ooh. The woman just now, lady, made a very important point. We have women cricketers from how many countries? Three? Mm. Four?
Mm.
Do they play? Do they have a competition, an inter-island competition, so that we can check, you know, how well they're doing, if they're improving? We don't.
Mm.
And if you look at the situation where the women cricketers are concerned, look at the countries that are doing well. Australia, they have 2,000 women playing cricket.
Right.
India, they're playing test cricket. You have South Africa, I think they're playing test cricket. New Zealand, I think they're playing. So their longer game helps the shorter game.
Right.
And we are not looking at that. We are grooming girls to just hit the ball. We want some people to concentrate and still find the gaps and right. So on. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Don't give away their hand. And these are the things that we that's why we're falling short. The other day, I spoke about the lady Dottin.
Right.
Dr. Shallow realized that what I was saying,
mm-hmm.
that you have one of the best players in the world and she wants to leave,
mm-hmm.
then some sit her down and say, well, listen, you know, we have four women batters that can hold the fort and get us to positions, you know, in the T20 and so on, where we can do well. I think we'll do much better when we get into that test match arena.
Mm.
That's how I think.
Interesting.
And we have now they're using Brian Lara. Brian Lara, how long has he retired? He's retired now for quite a while.
Mm.
But now we're waiting at this late stage. Not, I wouldn't say it's late, but at least we should have had Greenidge and Haynes and these guys, yeah, Andy Roberts and these guys, involved with our cricket. We have a coaching system.
Mm. I see.
All the in county cricket, everybody's got an academy and they've got a coaching system. They have something going for them. South Africa's got the same. Australia's got the same.
Mm.
We, who've done well, and I don't think all those great countries with all those people have not maintained the standard that we have.
Mm.
For 17 years, nobody had beaten us. You know, we won about, what, 6 or 8 World Cups.
Mm.
We have 5 million people to choose from. We have things to be proud of. I want somebody to sit down these young players that we have and tell them exactly what is needed, that you guys have got to work harder, you've got to train, you've got to get fit and compete with these other people. You look at all the other countries. Every time New Zealand bring a young makes runs, look at the little guy from England. He's got a better record than Bradman.
Mm.
Very young guy.
Mm-hmm.
India bring somebody, they're doing well. Sri Lanka, Australia, but we have players now and then
mm-hmm.
doing. We are not taking this cricket seriously. We have to work hard at this and tell the young people that, listen, we don't mind you playing in the T20, but we'd like you to play in our domestic cricket because people are putting a lot of money there. And if you don't, well, sorry, You're going to have to pay for your NOC or something. I don't want to stop anybody from earning money.
Mm.
You were taught most of your cricket by in the West Indies. Give something back. The Australians are doing it. They play in the IPL, but they go home. The Sri Lankans do that. India doesn't go anywhere else other than India. Right? You have the other teams still want to play for their country. We have some great cricketers. You talk about Pooran. Pooran's talent is going to waste. I think he's a tremendous cricketer. When are we going to get another Larry Gomes?
Mm.
We need a Larry Gomes in the men's section and in the women's section.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. We have to look at our all round, but you have to get into the heads of these young creators. Tell them exactly what you expect from them. Do they know what is expected of them?
Mm-hmm.
We have talented cricketers, you know, very talented cricketers, but the cause of our domestic or inter-island cricket, the standard is not that high. We're struggling, but I think we have cricketers that can match others.
Interesting. So, Clive, we'll come back to you shortly. Time is very, very tight. Several calls, and we're just going to do a little segue because we've got our very good friend Sarge. So you've got to be careful with your language here, Philo Wallace, because this gentleman, you know him well. Hello, Sergeant Griffith. How are you, Trevor?
Good night, Andrew.
Good night. Good night to you. So this is a man that, of course, is known to us. Regional cricket in terms of the police will be starting in Barbados on April. Well, I know that this first game is going to be streamed on the 2nd of April. Tell us about it. You're going to bring all the policemen in Barbados to play some cricket. You must be excited as the chief organizer. Trevor?
Yes, we are excited that we're going to have seven regional police teams, including Barbados, to make it 8 teams playing our regional police T20 tournament. It's an annual tournament. However, due to COVID, we didn't have it for the last 3 years.
Oh.
So this year it will be from the 31st of March up until the 10th of April, right here in Barbados.
Mm. And the countries participating?
The countries participating are Antigua, you got British Virgin Islands, Cayman Islands, Grenada, St. Lucia, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh, I see. And any stars, any players of note? Any big names coming?
Yes, we do have some names from former West Indies players. We have Keswick Williams representing St. Vincent.
Okay.
Johnson Charles representing St. Lucia. Andre Fletcher representing Grenada. And Lindo Simmons and Riyad Emery representing Trinidad and Tobago.
What's the Barbados team looking like?
Well, we are practicing. We're having 4 days practice sessions.
Wonderful.
Some of the regional teams have gone into camp, so it's a very serious exercise.
Oh, they're going into camp. Okay.
There are some regional teams who are in camp right now.
Really?
Antigua.
I thought that policemen always were in camp.
No, Andrew. No, Andrew.
It's interesting. So this is exciting. I understand some of the games are going to be streamed as well.
Yes, we are going to have, in the preliminary rounds, we're going to have the game stream, semifinals, and the finals will also be live streamed.
Mm.
And I think the finals will be broadcast live on television.
Oh, really? Okay, and the finals will be at Kensington Oval?
We'll be at Kingston Oval.
And what's the date for the finals again?
The finals will be only April 10th.
April 10th.
And we should start at 2 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, I see. So let's run through this again. Regional tournament. Teams from across the Caribbean are coming. And it starts when again?
Okay. The right name is the Regional Police T20 Tournament.
Regional Police T20 Tournament. And when does it start again?
And it starts on the 31st of March and the finals on the April the 10th.
Right, right.
And you're having 8 teams.
8 teams. Any prize money? Or not really. They're just playing for a trophy.
They're playing for a trophy. Okay. Challenge trophy.
I see. Well, we're going to get Philo Wallace and Sir Clive to, and Tony Gray and Dr. Ford to come together. They've got a lots of money, and we'll give the first prize maybe $10,000 or $12,000. So I'm going to work on that for you.
Okay.
All right. So we want to thank you. Of course, you can use this forum, Mason and Guest. We'll certainly have you on again to talk about it. So we want to thank you for coming through and talking to us, Trevor. We can have you again next week on the show. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and make sure that you stay in camp.
Good night, Andrew.
All right. Good.
Enjoy.
Wonderful indeed. All right. Tony Gray, the T20s are starting. Let me just look and see where we are in terms of the T20s. The first one is going to be on Saturday. That's 8 o'clock at Super Sports, 8 o'clock Eastern Caribbean time. The second is on the 26th, 8 o'clock in the morning. Make sure you get up. And then they go to the Wanderers. The Wanderers, which is going to be on the 28th, starts at around noon. So the 25th, the 26th, and the 28th, the three T20s. What are you expecting, Tony Gray, as we turn our attention to the T20s?
Well, I think that because our players are very instinctive, I think that we can do well in the T20s. They've traveled all over the world. They've played in different cricket environments. They've played against top-level competition. I think that they can bring that to the table and really do well against South Africa. I expect this format of the game to favor us a lot. Mm. But we have to make adjustments to the kind of conditions that we're going to meet. Obviously, a lot of the T20 games are being played on sluggish wickets throughout the world. And we know that South African wickets are going to present a different challenge for our players. But because we have now a lot of experienced players and because we have a good all-round team, I think that we can win 2-1.
2-1? Okay. What do you think, Philo?
Andrew, South Africa are moving us back into the high fell. The high altitude. Okay. And the pitches are not going to be slow.
I think we have
to beat South Africa in those 3T20 games. They are taking them up to the high altitude, thin air, the ball travels faster. So we need to be very careful with those T20 games. Mm. It is important that we try to get it as quickly as possible and try to acclimatize. Kyle Mears and Jason Holder would be the perfect foil to let guys know what is expected. We play the test matches at Centurion and the Wanderers. So it's not going to be easy. They're taking us to the bigger grounds to play the T20 cricket. Mm. We like to hit a lot of sixes.
Yes.
We have to understand that people want to beat us and they're looking to outsmart us.
Yes.
So it's going to be crucial how we approach the T20 games. Mm. It's not about, this is our strongest format. They're going to take us to the high altitude grand venues again. Mm. And we're not going to look to run a lot of singles. We want to hit ball in the air on the big grounds, and we're going to cut one thing. We have to play smart T20 cricket.
Right.
I would like us to win, but we have to be smart against South Africa. Mm. They're using their home advantage.
Mm, I agree. Fellow, stay with us. Let's make another. What we're going to do, we're going to do our commercial, and of course, we've got another 10 minutes left. Okay. I've been directed by my very good friend here, your good friend as well. Say hello to Philo, your good friend.
Good evening to you, Philo. How do you do?
Good evening, Ken. I'm fine, man. How are you?
When I heard you remonstrating earlier in the program, I said, well, Andrew has given or is supposed to give you some ESA feel.
The best shot of the day.
The best shot of the day.
All right.
So I was looking for some at Christmas, but I got none.
All right. All right. So let's pause for a business cause. Mason and Guest brought to an association with our good friends at ESA Feel Right Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESA Feel Right Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth. Drink it up or you can't qualify. Just sing this song. Tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Well, defending champions Barbados have really been very ordinary in this competition. I've been trying to get someone from the camp to come on the show, and so far no response. So I phoned the president, my good friend Conde Riley. Conde, what's going on with Barbados? I mean, you were 59 without loss against the Leewards. And before you could say, we love Auntie Mia, my golly, what happened there, Conde?
On the show.
Turn your radio off, Conde. Turn your radio off.
Right. Hold on a second.
Take your time, Conde. Conde?
Hi.
Yes.
Hi.
What has gone wrong with Barbados this year? You were very poor.
I want people to understand something, right?
Yes.
And I never panic. Barbados has 9 players overseas. Mm. The opportunity has arisen where we have a young team under the leadership of Shane Dowitt, with the same coaches that coached us over the last 2 years when we won the competition. I was disappointed, yes, but remember, this Barbados team was playing without 7 of our best players. Mm. So, it's disappointing, yes, but I will not panic. They had the opportunity, because if those players were not playing for West Indies, they'll be here. Mm. So, they lack a lot of experience and so on. Mm. I'm not worried about what transpired. We were in a good position, but we lacked that experience. Without Craig, Jason, Kimar Roach, Hakeem Jordan, who went off after me having the most wickets and so on. There's nothing to panic about. Mm. Yeah, nothing to panic about.
I see. Craig Bathurst is not going. What happened there? Because I see Roshan Worrell is in the side. What happened there?
I do not know. He may have an injury or something like that. Mm.
But you are aware.
I know he was in the team. Mm-hmm. And I heard it this evening.
Oh, so
I'll bring to check it out.
So no one told you? You saw it in the press release then?
No, I didn't see it in a press release.
But you are aware that he's not going?
Yes.
Okay, and you don't know the reason?
And I don't want to say why he's not going, because I do not know.
Oh.
He may have come home with an injury. I do not know.
Oh.
So I don't want to speak to that.
Okay, I see. Okay, Conde, well, it's always good to talk to you. I know with interest that Dr. Kishore Shallow is going to be on challenge. You know, I was told that the Big Four met, Barbados, Guyana, Trinidad, and Jamaica, and they decided on Haven. What went wrong there, Conde?
We met?
Yes, that's
no,
right.
No, it's not done like that.
Mm.
You know, we had a nomination date.
Yes.
And at the end of that, a number of people had been, two people had been, I put in nomination, and then Mr. Haven was due.
Mm.
The vice presidency was unopposed.
Mm.
So now Kishore is unopposed as well.
Mm.
So, Mr. Haven dropped out.
Yeah, but Conde, you're going too fast for me, really. I'm told that Barbados, Guyana, Trinidad, and Jamaica got together and proposed Billy Haven. Is that not true?
That's not true.
It's not true?
No. Oh. Billy Haven was, I think, proposed by Jamaica and seconded by, I think it was Guyana.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, of course, of course, in this context, you're taking proposed literally. So let me change the word from proposal to support.
But you have to have a proposal and a seconder for any position at the AGM.
But Conde, okay, let me say it again. Barbados, Guyana, Trinidad, and Jamaica got together and supported the nomination of Billy Haven. Is that not true?
No. No.
Oh.
That's not true.
Okay. All right.
We listen. And all this is why we are where we are.
Okay.
Oh, I heard this and I heard that.
Okay.
Anybody that's running for a position has to be proposed and seconded.
Mm.
Right.
Mm. Well, I'm not disputing that.
Right, so I'm just going to explain it to you.
Okay.
So at the end of nomination day, we had Billy Evan and Kishore Shallow running for president, and there was only one person running for the
vice president. Right.
Subsequent to that, Billy Evan said he was no longer interested. So he's dropped out, which leaves the situation.
Hold on, Claudette. Were you surprised by that?
Everybody was surprised? No, everybody has a reason. Why they would run or not run.
Did he explain to you why he pulled out?
No, he didn't have to speak to me. Mm. No, he didn't have to speak to me. Mm.
But didn't Haven address your board?
Yes, he did. Mm. And at that point is when he said he was no longer interested.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Mm. And he didn't give a reason?
He gave a reason, but that's not something I would speak to on your show.
Fair enough. Okay, well, Conde, but of course you would throw your full support behind Dr. Kishore Shallow, I would imagine.
I've always been a team person.
Mm-hmm.
Where West Indies cricket is right now,
right,
it needs all hands on that.
Right.
And not, you know, speculation about this and that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of work to be done.
Right.
A lot of work to be done.
Right.
And there should be no divisiveness.
Winning song.
Right. Whatever I'm asked to do, I will do.
All right. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Well, Conde, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Always good to hear from you. Gentlemen, we got, is it 30 seconds we got left or is it 29 now?
More like 5 seconds.
All right. Gentlemen, I see 7:57 on the clock. So we got another minute or so to go. Let's start with you, Philo. Anthony Gray is saying 2-1. Do you agree with that?
So for West Indies to beat South Africa 2-1, Andrew, we really need to play a smart T20 cricket.
Right.
I want West Indies to win this T20 series.
Right.
But when I look at, we have to be strategic, Andrew. We have to be strategic, and there's no doubt about it. South Africa is going to have a new T20 captain too, in Markham.
Yes. He's a good
so we need cricket. So he's a good cricketer, but we need to try and nail down certain things about Markham because he's a touch player.
Right.
And our captain, Powell, also, this is first series, and you want him to come out on top. I would like him to win. I would like to see proper T20 cricket being played. It's not going to be easy.
Tony Gray, you want to change your mind based on what you heard from Philo Wallace just now?
Not really.
So the answer is no then.
No, the thing about it, I think that we have a greater amount of experience now. Of course, the T20 game has evolved. It's not just instinctive. It's about thinking the game right through on your feet.
Right.
But I believe that we have the quality to do well against South Africa.
All right. Thanks very much indeed, gentlemen. And just to let you know that the Central Club, of course, that celebrity match is on March the 25th, the same time that the Maxwell Tape Ball T20 is going to be played. Dwayne Smith, Ashley Nurse, and those guys are going to be playing. And we want to thank the Central Club for playing that game. It's at Dighton Griffith School. It's on the weekend, so a lot of cricket on the weekend. I'm Andrew Mason. He's open for a bye tomorrow. It's good night.